From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. It was one of the biggest highway projects that Kansas City, Missouri had seen in years. A 10-mile, six-lane corridor running south from the heart of the city. To widen the existing road, the construction company brought in huge earth movers and thousands of pounds of explosives to blast through the limestone hillsides. Then, early in the morning, on November 29th, 1988, a call comes in to 911.
Yes, I want to report a fire.
Whereabouts?
Two security guards working at the construction site are on the line.
Yeah, there's a fire on both sides of the highway. It's at 87th Street.
87th and 71 Highway. What's burning? Okay, we don't have units there. Thank you.
The 911 operator quickly notifies the fire department, and they rush a crew to the scene. Pumper truck 41.
41, dispatcher.
The firefighters spot a pickup truck in flames and a second fire.
Appears to be two arson fires out here. Send the police.
Two arson fires.
Pumper 41, please caution on your call. We have information there may be explosives. It's in a construction area.
The explosives are packed into two construction trailers. Another fire truck arrives, pumper number 30. As both crews begin to battle the flames, the battalion chief reports a powerful blast.
107, you're reporting an explosion. You need extra companies?
10-4, and we're going to need ambulances.
10-4, is that for firefighters?
10-4, we've blown the windshield clear out of our car and we're a quarter mile away.
107 reports a major explosion. We heard it here. Firefighters are involved out of that 71 highway in 87. Apparently a large explosion. Pumper 41 or pumper 30, answer. Pumper 41 or pumper 30.
There's no answer from either crew.
36, pumper.
Authorities cordon off the area. 40 minutes pass, then a second explosion rocks the site, breaking gas lines and shattering building foundations miles away. Emergency crews, investigators, and news reporters arrive as the morning sun reveals a charred landscape.
The only thing left out of the two fire trucks on the scene is the front end of one pumper. Everything else is gone. So again, no.
And about 12:30 this afternoon, a contingent of firefighters rolled in. Their job was the hardest one today, to bring out the remains of six of their friends.
Everything was pretty much leveled within probably a 100-yard radius.
Victor Zinn is a retired Kansas City homicide detective. He was at the scene that day.
In addition to the bomb squad, they also had cadaver dogs looking for individuals that may have been blown apart.
Six firefighters died in the explosions. The youngest was 31, the oldest, 57. It was the worst tragedy in the history of the Kansas City Fire Department.
This was a huge, huge crime that took place, and there was going to be a lot of time and effort put into finding the right people that did it.
9 years later, five people were convicted. Not for murder, but for aiding and abetting arson that led to the deaths of the firefighters. A federal judge sentenced them to life in prison without the possibility of parole. But from the beginning, the case was troubled. First, there was no physical evidence linking the suspects to the crime, and there was conflicting testimony, a lot of it, from convicted felons and jailhouse informants. To this day, nearly 30 years after the explosions, the four surviving defendants maintain their innocence. They're not alone. Some of the very people who helped put them behind bars question the verdict. This issue has taken on a new sense of urgency. In less than 2 weeks, a federal judge will decide whether to grant freedom to one of the defendants. We're going to spend the next hour on this case, and our guide is Reveal's Jenna Welch. Hey, Jenna.
Hello, Al.
So, Jenna, you grew up right outside Kansas City. So where were you when all this happened?
I was home, but when I woke up that morning, it was all over the news. I mean, the blasts, people felt them for miles. These explosions weren't bombs. Authorities believe the explosions happened by accident when the fires were set. They spread to trailers that were packed with explosives. Now, the construction company, you know, they had them on the site to widen the highway. The type of explosive was ANFO, which is a combination of ammonium nitrate and fuel oil. Now, I knew what ammonium nitrate was. I grew up in farm country. It's a fertilizer. But when you mix that with fuel oil, it becomes ANFO, which is used in mining, or in this case, excavating, and it can be deadly.
ANFO, that's what Timothy McVeigh used to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I mean, he built a bomb using about 5,000 pounds of ANFO. Now, if you multiply that by 10, that's the amount of ANFO that exploded in Kansas City that morning.
Okay, so all of this happened almost, what, 30 years ago? Why go back into the case now?
Well, last year I directed a play about the explosion and its aftermath as part of a project at Reveal called Storyworks, where we create theater pieces based on investigative reporting. And for this project, we worked with Mike McGraw. Now, Mike is a veteran investigative reporter in the Kansas City area. He worked for the Kansas City Star for many years, and now he works for Kansas City Public Television. And Mike's reporting has raised serious questions about the handling of the investigation. And after the play, we decided to dig deeper. One of the things we found is that there are still scars that haven't healed for the five people who were sent to prison 20 years ago and their families, and of course, for the families of the fallen firefighters.
So, Jenna, take us back to the start.
I'd like to begin in downtown Kansas City. At a fountain that commemorates fallen firefighters, including the six who died that day, Gerald Halloran, James Kilventon Jr., Thomas Fry, Luther Hurd, Robert McCarnan, and Michael Oldham.
Little short story. Fountain was all built.
I've come here with Captain Joe Galletti. Joe knew all of them. He even worked with some of their fathers. He's made it his mission to keep their memory alive.
We chose this site because it overlooks Kansas City. The statues that we're looking at are, they call in the sculpture world, of heroic size. So that's just a little bit larger than men.
Joe retired in 1994. He has trouble breathing now and can't stand for very long.
And I'm going to have to sit down. Firefighting took its toll on me. So.
He helped raise more than $300,000 to get the memorial built.
And when we opened the fountain, we closed the streets and we had a show. We had firefighters, we had music, we had coffee, tea, drinks. And it's quite a celebration.
Building the memorial for the firefighters was a lot easier than finding the people responsible for their deaths. Remember, there was no physical evidence, no eyewitnesses. Early on, Kansas City police started looking at a group of suspects from a working-class neighborhood near the construction site called Marlboro. Three of them were members of the same family, the Shepherds. Brian Shepherd was 17 at the time. He'd had several brushes with the law. In fact, during the time police were investigating the explosions, Brian was convicted for stealing a bicycle and violating probation.
Brian Shepherd is in jail already, serving time.
Local media started reporting that he was a suspect in the firefighters' case.
He was scheduled to be released next week, but investigators and prosecutors will reportedly charge him with arson and murder before he walks.
So what was the evidence against Brian Shepherd? Two men who'd met him in jail said that Brian bragged about starting the fires. And based on their testimony, the state of Missouri indicted Brian on 6 counts of murder. But within a couple of months, the case fell apart. One of the informants, a man named John Driver, said on television that he'd lied to the police.
98% was made up, was fictitious.
The inmate said the police wanted a conviction badly and promised to reduce his jail sentence.
The statement was made by the police officers was someone's going to have to burn for this. They are getting a lot of pressure down to convict someone on this charge.
Brian Shepherd had not been in jail that long when the prosecutors had to drop the charges.
Tom Jackman covers crime and courts for the Washington Post. Back then, he was a young reporter with the Kansas City Times.
They dismissed 6 murder charges against the guy they had thought had killed the firefighters. This was a gigantic letdown for the entire city. Suddenly, they had nothing. They had nobody. They were back to square zero.
Brian Shepherd was a free man, but he was still in the media spotlight.
The only suspect in the case publicly has been this man, Brian Shepherd, accused briefly by a jail cellmate. Those charges were quickly dropped, and Shepherd, in an exclusive television interview, maintains he's not capable of the crime. But he says since his name has been associated with the explosion, his life has been scarred.
I had a friend of mine who looks kind of like me. He he got jumped down on Westport by, I think it was a couple firefighters, not for sure though, jumped him, beat him up because they thought he was me.
Even though the charges against him were dropped, Brian was still a suspect. Investigators were canvassing his neighborhood, looking for evidence linking him and his family to the explosion.
All the time, we knew what family of persons did the crime. All we needed was a little evidence.
Fire Captain Joe Galletti chaired the city's arson task force. It included local police, the FBI, and agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. They set up a hotline for tips. They plastered reward posters everywhere.
And we made signs 30 foot long and 12 foot high, and we put them on all the bridges. And I made it big enough that if you could drive by at 55 miles an hour, you could read it.
Joe Galletti and an ATF agent named David True brought the case to the attention of the TV show Unsolved Mysteries. This was 6 years after Brian Shepard's first case was dismissed.
Today, the case remains Kansas City's most notorious unsolved crime.
The show aired in February of 1995.
There is currently a $50,000 reward being offered in this case. If you have any information, please contact the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, or call our toll-free number. Remember, you need not give your name.
Joe Galletti says as soon as the program ended,
the telephone started ringing. We had over 300 leads that night, and things started happening.
Leads were coming in from ordinary citizens. They were also coming in from jails and prisons.
I don't think you could get on the phone for 3 days. There's so many people calling, criminals calling, talking about, well, I know this, I was in jail with him, he said this, that, and the other.
When you look at the number of witnesses who were either in trouble or already in jail, and the power that the federal government had to make all that go away, it's just stunning.
That's next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.